And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
We're right here. I'm live here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and on the line with me is our South Carolina State Treasurer, Curtis Loftus. How you doing today, Curtis?
I'm doing very well, Ann. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Looks like a big trip coming up here, huh?
Yeah, a little trip today. I'm traveling to Charleston. We're going to speak to the Association of Countywide Elected Officials. That's a good thing. We've got a couple of Investment Commission meetings and a couple other meetings about financial literacy. Then I head back to Columbia, but on Saturday is the Republican National Convention, and that's quite an operation down there.
It is quite an operation, and you are actually, if I remember correctly, head of the South Carolina delegation?
Yes, I was the top vote getter, so they give you that, so it's not much of a prize, right?
Now, what does that mean, you're the top vote getter? Explain that to me, how our delegates get picked in this type of thing.
Well, both the Democrats and Republicans do it the same way. We have precinct meetings in the spring, and then we'll have county conventions. We'll have congressional delegate conventions, and then we'll have a statewide convention. And statewide convention, you vote for what they call the statewide delegates. And I was fortunate enough to get the most votes there, and now I'm the delegation head. Actually, I'm a co-head. My buddy Bobby Harrell, Speaker of the House, he and I are the co-head of the delegation, but Bobby's going to be in Washington for the voter ID lawsuit, so he won't be able to attend. You know, these Republican and Democratic conventions are huge operations, tens of millions of dollars. I mean, there's really like armies moving around. They've got everything timed, all the buses. You know, like we are staying about 40 minutes away from the convention hall, and we can only go to the convention hall at an appointed time in the appointed bus. You can't just take a cab and go there because security is so heavy. So you can imagine the logistics. And then there are lots and lots of different functions, from breakfasts where, say, presidential candidates or gubernatorial candidates or whoever are coming by to see you, to luncheons and after convention night parties and caucuses. I mean, it's a busy time. It's a lot of work, and it's a tremendous amount of effort. But at the end of the day, both parties will have their nominees present the country in the best way possible, and then it's only just a short time to the election day.
Well, I got to ask you, Curtis, what did you think of Paul Ryan joining the ticket?
I like Paul Ryan. I know him just a little bit, not very much, but I know him just a little bit. He's a kind man, very, very smart, and you know, they're a good pair. I was with Mitt last Thursday, I guess it was, in Greenville, and it occurred to me, it only occurred to me after he said it. But he said, we're both fix-it guys. We like to fix stuff. We don't like to talk about it. We like to fix it. And that's the kind of guy I like, and that's the kind of guy that those two are going to make a great ticket. And I have faith that I believe they're going to be the next president, the vice president of the United States.
Well, one thing I will say, you know, I was a little bit disappointed as far as them coming in here, collecting that $25 million, you know, the money that they were raising, $25,000 tickets and everything, and they didn't stay any time, Curtis.
That's right. Well, now is the time where we live in a funny time. There are about six or eight states now that are in play. South Carolina is going to be a Republican state. New York is going to be a Democrat state. You know, they're just states like that.
Right.
And we're down to where just a few states are left to be decided. And that's not the way we would like to see it. And we'd like to see him have to come to each state. But, you know, Obama won't come here at all except for maybe a fundraiser. And we were lucky because the Republicans have the first in the South primary that we had a lot of attention from them. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't see very much of them at all. So I'm glad he came. We got to spend a little time with him. And he did pick up some money. So we're doing our part for the rest of the country as well. But there are, you know, Ohio, Wisconsin, Colorado, Mexico, North Carolina, and Virginia, places like that. That's where the real battleground is, and that's where you'll see the presidential candidates spending all their time and money.
I know. Now, real quick, what do you think about, that senator who made that comment about rape and everything? What do you think about that?
About race?
Rape. The rape.
I don't remember.
The senator that they're trying, well, he's running for a Senate race. And
I don't know that I know which comment you're talking about yet. There's a lot of crazy things out there said.
You know, the one
I love politics, and I know you do too, but if you step back, you know, if everybody steps back and you listen to all that's said and done around politics, especially the presidential race, so little of it has to do with what's going to be in the best interest of the country. You know, everybody's got a life. You know, all our lives are different. Some of us are in politics. Some of us are working. Some are retired. Some people are raising children. I mean, we all have these different lives. We have, you know, a different vision for the country.
Sure.
And that's what's important. All these, you know, crazy comments somebody says. And have you noticed how the national media is just obsessed with process? You know, what does Obama wear today? And who shows up on the stage with Romney? I mean, you know, is any of that important? I don't think it is at all. And it keeps us away from the central point, which is this country needs to get its economic vitality back. We are just, all my life has been the kind of place where if you want a job, it was easy to get a job. And it's not so easy anymore. You've got too much government, too much in the way of taxes, and a lot of barriers that keep us from being able to operate like we should. We're noble good people, and we like to make business, we like to make money, and I think we need to free up the economy and let people do that.
Well, you know, that's interesting. That is interesting. That is the issue. But, you know, when you talk about the media can really spin things, and both sides can spin things. So how do you feel the election is? You know, right now our candidates are really neck and neck. How do you feel, Curtis? What do you think the future holds?
Well, you're exactly right about the media. Media can spin things, and both campaigns can spin things. I'll tell you, I've had conversations with the Obama campaign because I know them. I don't think Obama. But I think there's far too much spinning going on. You know, I know Mitt Romney. He is a good man. If he lived next to you, you would be glad he was your neighbor. If you were related to him, you'd be glad he's your father or your grandfather or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just a good man. And what we got to do is stop worrying about this process. Start worrying about spinning. And make sure that people understand that he's a good and honorable man. And he will work hard. He will work hard for you. And that's, to me, is just the key. I mean, who wants to have somebody as the president of their business or the head of their club or how about just the head of your family? Who wants a guy who doesn't work for him? Who wants a guy who doesn't get things done and that you don't really believe him when he says something? Now, they try to make fun of Mitt Romney because he's made a lot of money. He's made a lot of money because when he shook somebody's hand and made a deal, they knew they could trust him. You know, what's the first thing they teach you about money? It's the information system. And he's made money because he's a good man, he's smart, he's honorable, and people trust him. You know, I got interviewed yesterday by the Los Angeles Times. They wanted to know about his generosity. But if you remember back in, I guess it was January, he and I and Nikki Haley were working a road line, and a woman was in tears. It was an African-American woman with three children. She had seen the bus coming in off the interstate. She followed it. She wasn't invited to the event, but she just came right in to do that kind of thing. And she was crying, and she said she didn't have any money, and her rent and electricity was due. And Mitt looked at me, and both, you know, reached in our pocket, and we gave her some money. You know, he did it, and he would never talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about it now. That's why she was calling me about it. I'd rather not, but, you know, you asked a question, he didn't answer. But that's just who he is. And he's giving millions and millions of dollars away to organizations, to churches. He's given lots of his time. And this whole thing about being president, think about it. He can go off to anything in the world, and yet he's working himself 6 in the morning to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night every single day for 2 years so he can be at the pinnacle of public service. And so I think that we got to stop worrying about spin. We got to stop worrying about what the TV says. And we got to search our own hearts. And we know what a good man is. And Mitt Romney is one. And I think we need one in White House.
Well, that's quite an endorsement there. I got to tell you, Curtis, that's a different spin that we haven't heard.
Well, I think the country's ready for it. You know, I'm involved. I always call myself the accidental politician, but I never meant to really get in politics. I just got mad and jumped in a race and beat a guy, right? But I love my job. But I'll tell you, I'm out there every day, and I have professionals tell me, you know, you need to spin this way, you need to say this, you need to say that. You know, whatever happened, just saying the truth. You know, just given the truth, we all have these values. Most of us share common values. Yeah. And I just want to, you know, I think Mitt Romney, what it feels to me is he shares those common values, and he's not afraid to talk about them. You know, people say, well, he's too stiff. Well, this is a shy guy. He's got humility. He doesn't think the world's supposed to be watching him. Most politicians do. You know, if you look at President Obama, he loves that TV camera. He just can't wait to get in front of it. He believes he's entitled to have everybody on the planet watch him. Well, that's not Mitt Romney's style. Mitt Romney would just as soon go and work for you in your house, do something good and kind to you as he would do. He'd rather do that than get on the TV. So I just think we just have a difference in people, and I think the country is ready to push away all these media crazy people. I think the country is ready to get through with all this spin, and the country's been through a hard time the last 2 years.
We have.
I think the country's ready to search its heart and make the right decision. That's why I feel really confident that this is going to be the next president.
Well, Curtis, you know, I don't think you could have said it any better than that. I'm impressed here this morning, Curtis.
Well, thank you. I get beat up sometimes because I don't do the spin stuff, but I had a good life. I told you this before. I had a good life before I got into politics, and if I have to go back after 4 years, I'll be just fine. You know, this is all supposed to be about the people we serve, and if we're not going to be honest with them, you know, what's the point of it? And I see it every day. You know the battles I've had with the Budget Control Board, Department of Transportation, and the Investment Commission. I was in a rather unpleasant conversation yesterday, and I was just thinking, you know, what is the one motto of state government? It's you never want to open a folder, you never want to open a letter, you never want to ever answer that phone call because you might have to do something that's unpleasant. And, you know, to fix something is unpleasant, to make a department or an agency or a person work harder, to demand more, sometimes that can be unpleasant, but we have to do that. And what really bothers me is when it comes to ethical and legal standards. I can tell you, I fight this battle all the time in Columbia, and yesterday's conversation came down to I was challenging people. I said, will you turn over the rock? Will you look under that rock and then deal with what you find? Or will you leave the rock there and just not say anything? And the problem we've got, they won't turn over the rocks. It's a see no evil, fear no evil, speak to people. And we got to change that culture. I think people like Mitt Romney will do that. And I think the more honest talk we get out of politicians, the better off we'll do. It all comes down to just basic honesty, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Curtis, one more question. This thing about raising the state workers' health insurance costs.
Yes.
I think Friday there was an article in the paper, the state down there, it says you could change your mind. What's going on with that?
Well, there's a couple things. One, you know, that was supposed to be decided, and we were not going to discuss that. So I'd studied the issue, but we just weren't going to discuss it. This is one of those issues that is huge. It's a $1.8 billion health plan. You know, most people in South Carolina think it's a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, but it's not. The state actually owns that plan. We decide what's in it. We decide what's not in it. We decide everything about it. And Blue Cross is managing it, of course. And so here I am. I'm on the Budget Control Board, and I know virtually nothing about that. And I can tell you the other members know very little about it. And so this is a problem. It's a structural problem in state government. How is it that huge decisions, large sums of money, are made out of sight, they're made behind closed doors? So when this came up, I was kind of happy it came up, but, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up and just be another 4-1 vote against me, right? So, but it came up, I had my opportunity to talk a little bit. This is, and I know that if you're a state employee like I am, and you have to pay the insurance, it's always more if you have to pay something. Even if it's just a nickel, right, if you had to pay more, somebody did. The state employees are also taxpayers. And they're also very important in our system, not just in our government system, but in who we are as people. But we're talking about teachers. We're talking about the county and city employees. This is $5 million spread out over 100-and-something thousand people. And, you know, a man who works for me is very, very, very thrifty. He said, well, you know, Curtis, it's 24 cents a day. And I know that people outside of government have to pay a lot more money. So I'm okay paying it. And I do think most people are okay paying it. Now, there may be a problem with law, and if we've done something that's not proper, then I want somebody to tell me, and I'll be more than happy to reconsider my vote. But I'm happy with the public policy part of it. You know, the part that says that the people paying the money and the people receiving the benefits ought to share both things, so that way you can lower your cost. Yeah, you wouldn't give a teenager a credit card and say, here, spend as much money as you want, you never have to pay it back, right?
Right.
You give them a credit card and you tell them you got $50 and you got to make it up by cutting the grass every week. So, I mean, there's always cost sharing in some way. Well, that's what I wanted to do here. But there was a second thing I had in my mind, which is we got to start talking about this health plan. It's getting more and more expensive. A few bureaucrats behind closed doors are making it. And we're going to be moving out from under a grandfathered system, an old system. We leave that in the beginning of 2013 with the beginning of Obamacare. We don't know what it's going to do to us. We don't know if it's going to make us 10 times more expensive or 10 times less expensive. We don't know what it's going to do. People just don't know yet. So part of what I was doing was I wanted to raise awareness. And it is 27 cents or more a day on average. I've got to pay that myself. You know? But we're raising awareness, and we've got people talking about the issue. What I need is for taxpayers and for government employees at all levels to say, we want to know about this plan. We want to see how we rank with our peers. We want to see, do we have the services that North Carolina and Georgia have? Or do we have too many services? Do we have too little services? Are there services that are unique to South Carolina because of our highest number of Medicaid patients? I mean, we need to look at this plan and study this plan, and it is $1.8 billion. Mm-hmm. And again, it follows Loftus's law of large pots of money, which is the larger the pot of money, the less people know about it, and the less it's protected. Well, back to your original question was, I voted on the prevailing side, the winning side. So I can ask to have this vote reconsidered if I choose. So what I did was I asked the House of Representatives, I asked the Senate, and I've asked the Budget Control Board, and I've asked private entities like the South Carolina Teachers Association and others to give me information that would show that we've broken the law. If we've run afoul of the law, I don't want to do that. I would reverse my vote. But I can promise you this, not one person has furnished me with one printed word. All these people that get out and say, you're going to lose the battle, you're going to lose the war, you're going to lose the lawsuit, they haven't presented me with one piece of information. So asking that, I'm going to stay right where I am. I think that we do need to call share. I think the good, honorable people who are government sovereigns, I think most of them understand that there's going to be some increases along the way. I will fight for them to have more pay increases because I think on average they don't make enough money, and I'll fight for them. But I do think on this one I made the right decision, and I'm happy with it.
Well, okay, that clarifies it. Now, Curtis, you're going to be down there. I'm going to be down there. You're going to have to spend some time on the radio with me.
That's right, and I want to have some fun. You know what I tend to do? We're funny because I feel at home when I'm talking to folks in Greenwood, but you know, Greenwood is one of my top two or three places to stay. And if you're easy to talk to, and I get a little too serious when I'm with you, and I got to quit being so serious because I don't want to turn people off. Life's supposed to be fun. You know, we all don't know when we're going to wake up the next day, so it needs to be fun. I tell you what, you and I will have some fun when we're down there. We'll get out of this habit and talk about some serious things. But there's a lot going on in this state. You know, I'm so lucky to be treasurer. I traveled around the world a whole lot for 10, 11 years beforehand because I'd been retired and was doing my mission work. And I come back and it's like rediscovering my state. And I find just wonderful people and great things everywhere I go. And what I do find is that we are ill-served by our government. Our politicians don't work long enough. We don't work hard enough. We don't fight the battles for our people we're supposed to. And so I got to find a better way to talk to you about that because I want it to be fun. I want you to look forward to my phone call, but I want you to think, oh, gosh, here comes Curtis again. This should be serious.
Curtis, we always look forward to your phone calls. They're always interesting, and you always give us a different perspective, and I think that's terrific.
Well, thank you. You tell the people of Greenwood that I said hello. I miss them. I haven't been down there probably a month and a half, and I always like to go more often than that. So I'll get down there soon. I'll go down there and do something, stomp around the woods or something. It's a beautiful place there.
Absolutely. Well, you've just been on the air with us on WCRS. Curtis, I hope you have a great day. Look forward to talking to you down there at the convention.
I'm going to see you in Florida.
All right. Sounds great. Bye-bye.